Now, the rest of the story. You knew that the president got Congress to beef up our forces in the Mediterranean, of course. But hostage takers in the area continued to defy the United States. You knew there was a lone military man working behind the scenes, devising a plan of dubious legality. You assumed the president knew nothing about the plan. Well, maybe it's time you heard the rest of the story. There was a secret meeting in the White House. There was a meeting between this gung-ho intelligence officer and the President of the United States. The Secretary of State was also present, but when he realized where the discussion was leading, he backed off. He said, "I don't want to have known too much if the plan goes haywire." So the President said, "All right, you're out," and he was out. Now the President was alone with this intelligence officer. What was the bottom line? The president wanted to know, and the intelligence officer appeared grim. Congress had no idea what was happening, he said, and Congress must never find out. Even generally, the concept was incredible. The diversion of government money for a foreign policy objective, which, well, it did not have congressional approval. And the specific idea was more fantastic yet, to divert government money to overthrow a foreign government. Now, the president heard all of this with his own ears. There was no doubting his co-conspirator's intentions, nor his own yes or no authority in the matter. He, the president, could have declared it wrong to circumvent Congress. He could have ended the adventurism before it began. But instead, his position, the president's position during this secret meeting was, what Congress doesn't know won't hurt it. All that mattered to him was that the hijacking and the hostage-taking had to come to a stop, that the Middle Eastern terrorists return American hostages they'd taken, that enough money could be secured to ensure the overthrow of one hostile government. The president had every confidence in his co-conspirator. The latter was aggressive on foreign policy issues, generally favored military intervention as a solution to international problems. He was well known and admired in the State Department, but now, for the duration of this covert operation, the intelligence officer must distance himself from the State Department, lest his cryptic activities attract attention. The president assured him that sufficient money and arms would be at his disposal. The intelligence officer proceeded with this outrageous plan. 175 years ago. Then the foreign government they sought to overthrow, the country taking American hostages, was the one we now call Libya. Then, as now, Congress was refusing what it called obnoxious interference in the affairs of a foreign power, and the 19th century equivalent of Ollie North was a gung-ho army captain named William Eaton, who subsequently became a national hero, for it was he who conspired with President Thomas Jefferson to circumvent Congress and then to use the taxpayers' money to purchase guns, thereby to force Libya to surrender. And the Muslim fundamentalists, who had been hijacking and hostage-taking for centuries, stopped abruptly because the price was too high. I say they didn't take any more hostages for almost 150 years. While the price was too high. Now you know the rest of the story.